Welcome to the Coming Inside Out podcast. I'm your host, Mark Dembo, along with my co-host, Brian Janes. Hey, Brian, how are you
hey,
today?
Hey, Mark. Good to see you, buddy.
You too. You too. I'm loving your festive shirt there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking like, you know, it's. I'm sitting here as we're recording this today. It's a Friday afternoon here in New York. It's 88 degrees out.
Yes.
I've been inside all day.
Oh, wow. It's like,
I should be at the beach.
Absolutely. It's beautiful here. I have pink shorts to go with my pink shirt.
There you go. Okay. All right. You know, but of course, yeah, you realize, like, you know, we do this. We may not be wearing pants. You know.
Yes. I'm like a news broadcaster half the time.
Right. Exactly.
I'm dressed from the waist up.
I just have to remember, like, not to, you know, not to stand up. Right.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. So, hey, you know, before we kind of jump into stuff today. So last week, it was our first episode in a few weeks for various reasons. And we were so excited to get our episode out there. And then we had some technical issues.
Yes.
So to all our listeners out there, you may have noticed about 32 minutes in, I think, the episode just ended.
The cliffhanger. It was the cliffhanger. Yeah,
exactly. That was by design. No. Yeah, we had some technical issues. And if you were watching the video, I think, Brian, we lost your video somewhere around 20 minutes in. So hopefully we'll have fewer glitches this week. Hey, you know, it's the world of podcasting. It's kind of what happens. And we're like, you know what? I don't want to go, we're not going to go back and redo it because I thought we had some really, really great stuff in there. So we just went with it. And
yes, I think we lost the last 11 minutes and I tried to go back and recover it and it just wasn't happening. So it was a cliffhanger. We left everybody wanting more this week.
Yeah.
How's that?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And you know, hey, look, we're still learning this as we go, right?
So. Yes. Yes. And I would, along those lines of learning as we go, I would like to acknowledge that this is our 50th episode. So anybody who's been with us from the beginning, this podcast started in May of 2024. And this is the 50th episode and the first time where we had the video and the audio cut off on us. So one in every 50, I'll take it.
Well, not bad. not bad at all. Yeah. So what else is happening for you this week, Brian?
You know, just trying. Yeah, I'm trying to stay positive with everything happening. You know, we're recording this the first week in June. The big bromance breakup between Trump and Elon happened over the last couple of days. In the beginning, I found some humor in it, but as we get further and further along, I'm just, I don't know, it's a little disparaging to me to see these two people acting the way that they're acting and just seeing some of the things that are coming to light. And it's like, you were holding on to this information because you were somehow being benefited on the back end by not releasing this information. It just feels, I don't know, it just leaves me feeling a little heavy-hearted this week.
You know, just kind of furthers the furthers the revelation. I don't want to call it a revelation. I think, you know, most people already know it, but that you know, Donald Trump is a grifter, you know, it's whatever benefits him. And so this is just, you know, further proof. And we, you know, we talked about this last week and we've talked about it before. You know, all the things that are happening, all the things that he says, all the things that he does, there shouldn't be any surprises here. It's doing all the stuff that he said. But, you know, I think we have to be aware of, and I know we don't want to kind of go down a negative rabbit hole for the next, you know, 40 minutes. But, I mean, just some of the things in addition to the bromance breaking up, which I don't know, I just kind of find it humorous. I mean, I think sometimes that's my way of dealing with things, too, is just like, you know what? It's just, it's so absurd. It's humorous.
Yes. Yes.
That's, yeah.
We all knew this was coming. Yeah. None of his relationships last. He ends up throwing everybody under the bus.
Right.
Until
it doesn't suit him anymore, until he's not benefiting anymore. Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I heard or that I saw yesterday was, you know, Elon Musk knew about Trump's involvement with Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
But he's waiting until now to throw that out to the public. Well, if he knew about this 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 9 months ago, however long ago, didn't he have some obligation or duty to disclose that when he found out about that information? Not a duty to, but ethically, I mean, it's like he held onto this information because it was benefiting him to not bring it up.
But and it just
saddens me for our country and for us that this is taking place.
Yeah, but come on, you got to remember the people you're talking about here. Yeah. I mean, you know, ethics and morality, that means nothing. It's only about how it benefits them. And you take two people like Trump and Musk when they're both looking at this from a, you know, why did that work? Because they both saw that there was, you know, mutual ways for them to benefit off of each other. Once that was no longer there.
Yes.
Right. Once that was no longer there. Oh, wait, Tesla stock is tanking. He's losing sales. Wait a minute. This is no longer working for me.
Yeah. And is this all just a publicity stunt where they're fighting so that he can look better in the Democratic eyes? I have no idea. It's not going to work for me. I'm not going to buy that. But, you know, is this all staged like the assassination attempt?
Well, you know what? In some ways, right, there is a bit of a smoke and mirrors game. It's you go out with these big things because then it diverts everybody's attention from the real nefarious stuff that's happening under the surface, you know? Same thing, you know, with the tariffs. He knows that the tariffs that he's putting out there are never going to stick. It's the oldest negotiation tactic in the book. You ask for something so ridiculous that when you come with your counteroffer, even though that's ridiculous, it sounds much more reasonable. And now people go along. It is a negotiation classic tactic.
Yes. Or by putting those astronomical tariff fees out there, what did he get in return by removing them? How many times, how many dozens of times were the tariffs up and down? Yes. I mean, what gain was there for Musk? Was there gain with Starlink? I mean, we're going to put 125% tariff on you, but if you agree to sign the Starlink contract, we'll remove those tariffs. It's like,
well, there's that. And it, you know, ideally or supposedly would funnel more business, right, to a Musk company because it's American based. Mm-hmm. For Trump, though, what it does, he was reveling in the fact of he was able to influence the markets. That was all feeding his ego. I can do this and look at how the markets respond. I don't care that the markets dropped however many hundreds of points in a single day. It's because of me. That's what's in it for him.
Yes.
That's all that's ever in it for him.
Yes.
That and, you know, money. But all right. So, you know, some of the other stuff just because I do think that it's important that we stay aware. Right. There's all this stuff on the surface, the shit show that they're putting out there. But it's also important to stay aware of kind of some of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes and the downshifting effects of some of this. You know, in the past week, the Navy now talking about renaming the USNS Harvey Milk.
Yes.
Right. And you know, and for them to make that announcement when right at the start of Pride Month.
Yeah.
You know, and Harvey Milk, I'm sure most of our listeners know or know of Harvey Milk, incredible. gay rights reformer in San Francisco back in the 70s. He was assassinated for the work that
Yes.
he did to support gay rights. He served in the Navy.
Yes.
And now it's about, so let me just come back to those who say, oh, he's not trying to do anything to the gay community, it's all and trans people don't belong in part of the LGBTQ community anyway. To those who have, said that, well, this is about gay erasure. This is about queer erasure.
Yes.
So there's that. So we need to be aware of those things. And again, it's why Pride Month is more important than ever. I mean, every day should be Pride Day. Every month should be Pride Month.
Yeah.
But this is a time to really be able to call those things out. Just some of the other things this week. The King of the Hill actor,
Oh, I saw that. Yes.
who was it Jonathan Joss, who
Yes.
was shot to death by a neighbor shouting homophobic slurs at him.
Yeah. And I read the article about that. His husband or life partner,
I think
they
it's his
had made
husband. Yeah.
complaints to the police
Yeah.
department
Yeah.
about
Yeah.
his neighbor
Yeah.
multiple times before, but
Yeah.
yet that gentleman was released on bail after killing him. It's like he shoots him, he spent the night in jail or two nights in jail, and he was released. What cold-blooded murderer gets released from jail? It's like I don't understand it.
I know.
I have a hard time. Yeah, I was sharing with you earlier. I do a lot of research for this podcast every week, and it's like, okay, let me find an uplifting article. Let me find something positive to talk about. Let me find something that, shows how the community is growing. And this last week, it has just been like really heavy and saturated with a lot of, I don't know, I feel like hurtful news with news that's really, are putting us backwards, not forward. And it's like I said, it's just kind of been a week of a heavy heart for me with this whole thing.
It is. It.
I want to share
Sorry.
one thing because I know that this has been going around on social media, and I thought it was important for us to share it because I know that there's a lot of dads, a lot of closeted people that are listening to the podcast that struggle. And one of the posts that I saw this for the first time like 2 years ago, pride is important because someone tonight still believes they're better off dead than being themselves.
Yeah.
That is so true. And when you see all this hatred out there right now, it's like, oh my God, people need to hear and know that they're not better off dead. They're
No.
better off living their truth,
Yep.
speaking out,
Yep.
finding community,
Yep.
finding people that support them, because it seems like it's increasingly getting a little more difficult these days.
Well, I think it in some ways, can you, I'm going to rephrase that. How can we take all that negative shit, all that stuff that's out there, and turn it into a positive? And we don't turn, you don't turn it into a positive. I don't think it's not. It's yes, you want to look for the positive things, look for those affirmations that can help you. But can you use this stuff as a catalyst to say, oh, I need to take action on something? Or last night, for example, I was out with a friend having dinner, and we were talking about, again, kind of, all this stuff going on and how easy it can be to be negative and just regardless of gay, straight, bi, whatever, right? Just
Yes.
so much stuff going on.
Yes.
But particularly or even more so, in the gay community where, feeling like, oh my gosh, we're under attack. Is it safe even to be walking around in New York City and to be, openly gay? I mean, I still feel like it is. I don't feel like it isn't, but the thought goes through your mind. And he and I were we were just walking. We went out to dinner. We were just kind of walking. We were in the city in his neighborhood and just walking around.
Were you
And
holding hands?
we were not at the time.
Okay.
We were not. No. We were just having a nice walk. But then I said to him, I was like, it was a beautiful evening. And I said, through all of this, through all the crap, all the stuff that's going on, we're still living our lives. We just went out and had a nice dinner. We're walking around just enjoying the conversation, just enjoying the evening, just
yes,
watching. We walked through a park and, you know, there were families and kids playing. It was just like, just people living their lives. And I think is that, you know, how do we find that balance between you got to be vigilant, we got to be aware, we've got to fight. And for those of us that have come out later, right, have never had to deal with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But to recognize we have to be there. But we also still need to live our lives and take advantage and enjoy what is there every day. Because there's still beauty out there. There's still good people 100%. Out there, right?
One of the things that got cut off in last week's episode, which kind of goes with this, is that we see all this negative stuff happening, but at the exact same time that this is happening, I have shared before that I have made my best friends in my entire life during this 5-year process for me.
Yeah.
Finding other gay fathers who are closeted, who have recently came out, or, you know, at any stage of their process, finding these men, sharing my authenticity with these men. And, you know, we see all this stuff going on, but I'm still able to pick up the phone day to day and talk to one of my buddies because his son is graduating from college or their grandbaby is, you know, in just entering preschool. And there's still so much joy and life that's happening right now. And we connect on that because we all, like, you know, silently followed in the same footsteps for so many years. We have such a deep connection with one another. So yes, there's all this negativity going on, but at any given time, the people that are the three people that are closest to me in my life right now are three gay dads that I've met since 2020. So that's huge for me.
I couldn't agree more. I find, you know, if I think about the journey and where I find myself right now, there is a lot of stress in the world. There's a lot of stress in my life, right? Going through the changes that I've gone through, navigating, okay, what is this whole new world now for me of living in a different way? My relationship with my wife, with my kids, and navigating things in a whole new way there. There's still tension there. There's stress there. Professionally, it's a tough time right now with so many external things happening that influence, you know, the work that I do. But then I also take a step back. I also look at my life and it's like, there are so many things that are so fulfilling in my life, because I have these friendships that I've been able to make that I never had in my life before, where I feel real, genuine connection. People you can be vulnerable with, right? People I'm not hiding, exactly. And being able to live my life. And that's everything from social engagements, friendships, sexual connections, right? Just, you know, it's just doing, you know, this past Saturday night, I didn't really have any plans. And I decided, you know what? I'm just going to go out. Went to some gay bars and just, there was nothing. It was just went out and I felt totally comfortable. Went to a place that I go fairly often. People there I knew, had a couple of drinks. It was just, I never, 2 years ago, I could have never imagined doing anything like that.
Yeah. I get it. Totally get that.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, you and I were chatting earlier this week. I wanted to mention this. You were at a function and somebody recognized you from the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. That's
how good does that feel?
It was great. So thing that I've been doing. So in New York here and in a lot of major cities, there's a number of gay professionals networking groups. So this past it was Wednesday evening. There were a group of several, I want to say it was 12 or 13 different gay professional organizations that all came together to hold this networking Pride Month event at a gorgeous rooftop bar in New York City. And it was a beautiful night out. There must have been 600 or 700 people at this event that came out. And that in and of itself, it felt, I was like, this is a room full of gay, queer, bi people all coming together. It wasn't a hookup event. It was a business, but it just felt so comfortable. So at one point, I'm at the bar getting a drink, and the main organizer of the event, who I think maybe I've met once, but we don't really know each other. He comes up to me, calls me by name, knew me by name because he had seen some of the podcasts. So we just got to talking about what we're doing on the podcast and the work that I do. He also has a podcast and invited me to possibly be a guest on his. But it's really nice when we're at least out there and feel like a celebrity.
You got a free drink out of it, huh?
I didn't.
You didn't get it.
Damn it.
Oh, that's funny. Last week we had mentioned that I already forget his name, one of the porn stars out of Palm Springs that had passed away. And this week we have another one. And I keep saying how I'm not a porn watcher, but these are all on advocate.com. An Australian porn star, Colby Falks, died at the age of 42 in Australia. So there's another porn star for you. I don't know if you knew him, but...
Not personally.
All right, me neither. Although he looked very good looking.
Go down more of a rabbit hole of negativity. But another prominent death this week in the gay community, the author, Edmund White, passed away. And I have to say, maybe others listening will be like, how did you not know of Edmund White? I was not really familiar with him. But he passed away. He was in his 80s. And I just bought his most recent book, which is a memoir. And he has written some novels about coming out. This is back in the 70s. And he's written a number of books kind of about his own exploits as a gay man. He was very involved, during the AIDS crisis, kind of really when he was coming of age. And he just passed away this past week as well. So for anybody looking to learn more in terms of gay historical, I don't say historical figures, figures, prominent gay figures from a literary standpoint, Edmund White.
I just looked him up. I was not familiar with him either.
Yeah.
So yes, thank you for that information. Yeah.
So Brian, one of the things that I know, I think we've talked a little bit about this, both maybe off air as well as on air, is different types of gay relationships. And I think it's interesting, for those of us coming out later in life and kind of starting to navigate, okay, what does it mean? What do relationships look like now? What do we want? One of the things I find very, in some ways, I guess I'd say liberating, if you will, around the gay community is that there is an openness to so many different types of relationships. Whether it's everything from open relationships to your traditional monogamous relationships to quasi-open, and even with an open, there's all kinds of, you know, what does that mean, right? And then there's the idea of polyamorous relationships, which can also be something very different.
All right. Explain the difference between polyamorous and open. Because I guess I kind of view them as the same. Either you're in a monogamous relationship or you're in an open relationship. Regardless of how you, what label you place on it, it's still considered open, isn't it?
Well, they're very different. In fact, I mentioned a friend I was out with last night, and he actually is married to a man, and they have a polyamorous relationship. And, you know, so I kind of asked him kind of the same thing. I was like, you know, help me understand what does that mean? And the easiest summary of that is typically an open relationship is about sex. It's about a hookup. A polyamorous relationship is about love and connection. So it's the starting point.
But does that still involve sex with multiple partners?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I'd say in all cases, but sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Polyamorous isn't just that you have a closeness or an affinity or a love for another person, but it's going to also involve sex with a third person.
I mean, I don't know, you know, if there's the textbook definition that says it has to, but I would imagine in most or in many cases, it does. I mean, think about a polyamorous relationship as, you know, you may have a circle of people that are within, you know, kind of this love relationship. And it's, you know, in some ways, you know, there's the concept of a throuple, right? Have you heard, you know, familiar with the throuple?
Yes.
You know, so.
But isn't a throuple a monogamous relationship amongst three individuals? Or is that also, is a throuple also an open relationship? Or I guess you define it any way you want as a couple.
Well, I think also if you think about a polyamorous relationship, my understanding, right? So I'm not an expert, but my understanding, a polyamorous relationship doesn't imply that it's just endless people. It's about it might be a throuple. It might be three people that are involved in a relationship. It might be four people. It might be five people that all have a deep, close connection. And there might be times that maybe people within that relationship do things together. You know, so if you're in kind of that polyamorous relationship, if I'm in a polyamorous relationship, you know, with you and also, let's say, another person or two other people, it might be, hey, Brian, you and I really enjoy doing certain kinds of things together. So you're kind of my partner for certain things. Another one might be, this is my travel partner. They love to travel, but my other partner over here doesn't. So you're able to find ways to fulfill many needs from many people. You know, I think so many times we hear these concepts, we hear these ideas, and it can be hard to get your head around because we are so conditioned that a relationship is a monogamous relationship. For those of us that, you know, right, we grew up being straight, it's a relationship is one man and one woman, or one man and one man, or one woman and one woman. The idea that you can, that love is not finite, is a hard concept when it comes to relationships, because you do get into, you know, jealousy and how do you manage that?
Yes.
You have to come from, I think, a sense of, you know, what's in psychological terms, secure attachment to start with in order for it to work.
Here's my take on that, because I am monogamous oriented. I was in a monogamous relationship for 30 years. And I guess, you know, through my streaming or however I look at stuff on social media, I get a lot of reels, you know, what happened to monogamy? Where are all the monogamous men? You know, because there's people out there looking for monogamy in a sea of open relationships in the gay community or gay culture. I find, and you and I both married for a very long, over 25 years each. When you're married, you should be in a place with your partner where you're able to share everything. Obviously, there were things that you and I couldn't share, you know, with our partners, but you're supposed to be able to share everything. When you're in an open relationship and it's like, okay, you can't do this here, or you can't do that, or you can't have sex with the same person twice, or you can't this, or you can't that. And when a person steps outside of that, all of a sudden you're creating all of these barriers within the relationship. When the relationship you should have freedom in that relationship to be yourself, to say what you need to say, to ask for what you want to ask for. And it just feels like when you place all these parameters on having an open relationship, you create all these little boxes in which, you know, you can't talk about something, or you step outside of it, or you create secrets. I don't know. It just feels, you and I both read a couple months ago that it takes a really, really secure couple to make an open relationship work.
I absolutely, right. Whether it's whether it's a traditional open relationship, yeah, which is kind of an oxymoron, right? Because an open relationship is not traditional, or kind of what we were just talking about, a more, you know, what you might call a polyamorous type of relationship. Yes, I think, you know, from what I've seen and looked at, it's like, it, if you're starting from a couple, right, you have to have that secure relationship, that secure attachment. And there has to be strong communication. And part of that is you have to say, okay, what do we share and what do we don't share? What don't we share? And in an open relationship, even within an open relationship, there's all different flavors, different varieties. Yeah. It's, but do we, there's some, sorry, go ahead.
Let me ask you. At this point in your life, do you want to enter your next relationship with the understanding that there's certain things that you and your partner cannot share with one another? Do you want to have a relationship like that?
But,
no, see,
but
you were saying as having an open relationship, there's certain things that you can't share with one another.
No, I didn't say that. I said it's up to you. It's up to each couple, each relationship pod, whatever it is, to decide how they want to do that. There are some that say, we're going to share everything with each other because we are secure enough in our relationship that I can share if I'm going to have a hookup with somebody or you're going to have a hookup with somebody. Okay, I may not want to know the intimate details of what you did, but it's like, oh, hey, I'm going out and yeah, I'm hooking up with a guy. Or there's some that are, don't share it, but we know we're both going to do it. Or there's some that are an open relationship that says, we're only going to play together and have a third, yes, join us, right?
But so based on what you just said, do it, but don't share it. So
there are some that might do that.
Personally. But I'm just saying, if you're in a relationship where you do stuff, but you're not able to share stuff, that's not the kind of, and this is just me personally, because right. Like I said, I'm a monogamous person. I guess I don't understand that because I have lived for 50 years not being able to share my full self in my marriage because of what I was hiding. I want to share everything with my next partner.
So what if you had a partner who you really cared about, and they said to you, hey, Brian, I love you. I care about you. I want to be with you, but I can't be monogamous sexually, but I'll share that, you know, but we're not going to keep secrets.
Yes. I would wish them well. I would wish them well because okay. I would, that's not yeah. what I would, that'd be the same as me saying to my wife, hey, listen, I love you, but I'm going to like go out and sleep around, you know,
right.
Well, outside. It's like, she would have said, okay, you know, thanks for letting me know. Okay. Right. Goodbye. Our relationship is over at this point. That's kind of how I am. You know, life is too short And I would never want somebody to be in a relationship with me that wanted something else.
Yeah.
It's like,
and that's a, yeah, that's a very fair and valid point, right? And and what I find for me so much more liberating, freeing, being out, being gay, is that there's no one, to me, there's no one right way of doing it. If that's what works, you know, for you, great. If it's not what somebody else wants, great. My, you know, I think I approach things as long as whatever somebody is doing isn't harming somebody else. And you can define what that, yes, you know, it's like within the bounds, like, yeah, okay, great. You know, there's no one size fits all.
I just think, you know, you're in a sexless relationship. Obviously, you're unhappy. You need, you know, move on from that. You know, I've heard that before from men coming out. It's like, oh, my wife and I, we lived in separate bedrooms. We hadn't had sex in 10 years or whatever. I mean,
well, that's different.
There doesn't need to be a reason for it. It's for myself. And you know this also because you're in a long-term marriage. There's so much more to your relationship than,
of course,
sex. Yeah. You're able, yeah, to build so much on it. You're able, yeah, to enrich your life so much with, yeah, your partner.
Yeah.
And to me, I would feel robbed if that person was doing something,
yeah,
on the side. I don't know. That's just me, yeah, personally.
Hey, and I, again, I think that's where it's, you know, the beauty of everybody can.
Yeah. How I see this
find
working.
The relationships that matter for them.
How I see this working, people that have been in a long-term relationship that come out as gay later in life, and they just want to have fun and they just want to explore.
Sure.
They've already done the relationship. They've already, yeah, had the,
yeah,
long-term commitment. And now they just want to go out and just have a great time and have a companion to come home to. I get it.
Well, and I think there's a few things, you know, as we're kind of talking about this, you know, I think there's a lot of here that we can continue to kind of peel back. I'd love to, maybe we can bring on some guests that can really, you know, some experts in open relationships and polyamory, and, you know, let's hear from some of the experts on this, around that. You know, the whole topic, you know, kind of what you're talking about too, of the gay adolescence. I think a lot of us that have come out later, right? It's, you know, for lack of a better term, again, gay adolescence, making up for lost time, yeah, and saying, hey, I've been in a relationship for so long. I don't know that whatever typical relationships have looked like, if that's the right fit, right? Yeah. It's all about figuring things out.
I talk to, yeah, people in our gay dads group or gay dads worldwide, and they're like, listen, I've been in a monogamous relationship for 30 years.
Yeah.
I've had it. I've done it. I've experienced it. That's not what I want going forward.
Right.
I didn't come out as gay to be locked into another long-term relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I totally get, yeah, it. I, yeah, thrived in my relationship with my wife. And, you know, I shared this with you last week, and I kind of hesitated whether or not I would say this on the podcast, but I think that this is actually suiting for this. My wife and I separated in 2019. I came out after our divorce, and I came out to her, and we have raised our children for the last 5 years very respectfully. You know, we go to the same family functions. We do everything together. When it comes to our kids or holidays, but outside of that, we really don't share, mm-hmm, and talk, and I don't know her personal life and she doesn't know my personal life. And so this has been going on for 6 years. And last week, my ex-wife showed up at my front door knocking. I opened the door and she's like, hey, I really need to talk to you. She came in and she and I had almost a 4-hour conversation.
Wow.
We laughed, we cried, we hugged, we, you know, reminisced, and it was so healing. And when my wife and I separated and after our divorce and I came out as gay, I didn't send her a love letter. I sent her a letter of love is what I titled it, because she had you know, pretty quickly come back and said, oh, was our entire life a lie? You know, were you closeted gay? Yeah. And, you know, yeah, you married yeah. me and just this whole thing. And I obviously am not writing her a love letter after our divorce, but I thought, you know, I'm going to write her a letter of love. And I just shared in that letter how every moment of our relationship was real for me, how yeah. my proposing to her, the love I had for everything was real. But when she and I divorced, it was like we had known each other as teenagers. We had like this 40-year relationship that pretty much ended in a conversation in 2019. And this whole week, I have just felt like, wow, I have this person back in my life and it feels so good. So for That's anybody great. Who's thinking that possibly there's no hope for them and their ex, or, you know, it's like that ship has sailed. This is 5 years later that this surprise showed up at my front door. And wow, it was something I didn't know I needed. It's something I never thought was going to happen. But oof, what a great experience I had with that last week. So
that's great. That's great. Congratulations, Brian. I'm really happy to hear that. And that's you know, and I think it does. It goes back to what you just said. It shows that it is possible to come out on the other side, if you will, and have a relationship and whatever that means. I know I've talked about it with you know, with my wife. We're still very close. We had coffee earlier this week. We talk or text pretty much every day. And not just about stuff with, you know, the kids or whatever. It's how are you? What's going on in your life? We're going out tomorrow night. We're going to see a show together because we enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
It's different, certainly, right? But we're recognizing that, yes, this is possible to do that. And it's wonderful when you can. And for those out there, I know it's not easy in all cases. I know not everybody is able to have that for various reasons, but it is possible. It is possible. And sometimes it takes time to get there.
Yeah. And you never know when it's going to show up at your door. So don't say that right. it's not possible. Because right. for me, like I said,
there you go.
I didn't know I needed it.
Yeah. Literally, she showed up at your door.
Yeah, showed up at my front door. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I see That's a right. new relationship for her and I going yeah. forward, because yeah. It's the first time in my life this last week I thought, wow, you know, if there was a family function and I met somebody, would I not go to that family function because I wouldn't feel like I could bring somebody, or would she not go to that family function because I was bringing somebody? And for the first time I thought, wow, if I met somebody and went to a family function for the first time, I feel like our relationship is yeah. healed, and that would be welcomed, and then it would just further grow our family. And the yeah. same for her, you know, if she met somebody and brought them into the equation, it's like, yeah, feels much different than this week than it has for the last
that's,
5 years.
That's good.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm happy for you. And thank you. Yeah, let's leave it on a high note like that. Those Absolutely. Things are, there is the possible positivity that can come yes. forward, even when things seem so negative. So I think to everybody out there, keep that front and center. And we hope you've enjoyed this episode. Please like us on your yes. favorite podcast app. Give us 5 stars. Leave us some comments. Let us know that you're listening, and anything you'd like to hear us address in more detail, you can write to us at comingInsideOut@gmail.com.
Yes. Thank you, Mark.
All right.
All right. Have a good week, everybody.
You too. Okay. Bye.
Bye.